Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is Katya Damborski, who is currently wearing a scarf on her head and has a water bottle in her lap.
I do, yes, because it's very cold in the podcast room. I feel like someone needs to sponsor the podcast so we can get a heater in here.
The word babushka was even mentioned.
By you. That's not how you pronounce it. Do you know that?
How do you pronounce it?
It's babushka.
Babushka.
The emphasis is on the first part.
And it basically means elderly Eastern European or Russian woman.
Basically me in like 20 years' time.
A very young babushka.
Yeah.
Babushka.
Babushka.
Anyway, we should probably talk about some boats. We're actually going to start this week with some sad news, actually. We have a couple of dear members of the superyacht community that have left us over the last couple of weeks. And one gentleman many listeners will be familiar with, and that's obviously Don Shedd, who very famous yacht designer and competent expert, masterful naval architect, has passed at the age of 87. So he was responsible for the design and naval architecture of some of Sunseeker's, particularly Sunseeker's, most prolific models. He joined the company in the late 1970s, and his first boat with them was the 8.5-metre offshore 28.
He was a big racing guy, wasn't he? He was good at the racing boats.
Very fast hulls, classic deep V hulls. Responsible for the various Hawk series. And, you know, Sunseeker, in my previous life working on other magazines, obviously I was really intimately involved with Sunseeker and the other British yards. And they revolutionized the boating scene in the 60s and 70s, kind of importing lots of competent GRP expertise and hulls and hull molds and things like that from overseas, and then kind of opened up the British consumer to this new world of GRP boating, really, and created a market along with Marine Projects, which later became Princess. And Don Shedd was a huge part of that. And in the 70s and 80s, kind of pioneered these super cool, super fast, just aggressive, drop-dead gorgeous sports boats, open boats with Sunseeker. And he will be sorely missed because, you know, his legacy is profound and long-lasting. So Ewan Foster, Sunseeker's current chief technical officer, had some lovely things to say about Don. He said, "Don was an inventor, but with a seat of the pants ability to intuitively know when something was right. He pushed boundaries in performance, style, and seakeeping in his racing life, and that distilled effortlessly into our production world." Ewan went on to say, "He was a friend and a mentor to me since the mid-1980s, and Sunseeker owes so much to him. Our industry has lost a giant, both in stature and achievement." I'd love to echo those words beautifully put by Ewan, and thoroughly endorsed by everyone at Boat International.
I was just looking up some of his projects in Boat Pro, actually, and he worked with quite a lot of shipyards. I was quite surprised. Like, I always thought he was kind of synonymous with Sunseeker, but his largest was 57 metre by Brook Marine, which is also a UK shipyard. And she was called Bad Girl, but he also worked with Admiral, NQEA, is that how we say it?
I think so.
That's Australian. But I suppose, yeah, he's best known for those Sunseekers, and as you said, the very racing style, kind of boy boats, don't you think? Fast boy boats.
Well, Sunseeker really exploded, I suppose, in their massive period of growth was in the 80s with a lot of those Hawk series, and the good times, Wall Street, the city of London was booming, Thatcher, deregulation, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, Sunseeker really exploded as a brand in that decade. And Don was a huge part of that.
Tapped into that.
He really did. And then we've lost someone else, very sadly. A slightly younger gentleman, that was Lang Walker. Very well-known Australian superyacht owner. He passed away at the end of January at the now tender age of 78. No kind of age. He owned famously the Kokomo series of sailing yachts, and he also bought an island in the South Pacific, which he renamed Kokomo. And he was a sailor to his absolute core. So back in 2018, Sophia Wilson, formerly of this parish, interviewed him when she visited Kokomo Island down near Fiji. And She quoted Langer saying, "My first Kokomo was a small dinghy. Back when I was a kid, I used to race, and that's what got me hooked." So after that, a whole series of Kokomos followed, notably three Dubois-designed superyachts, the first a 42-meter sloop, followed by a 52-meter and then a 58.4-meter, all built in New Zealand by Alloy Yachts. And this is what a boat nut he was. He said, at the launch of his 52-meter, he said, "The day I launched that boat, I could see that there were probably about 20 or 30 things that I wanted to change about it at the launch." So the same day that the boat was launched, I booked a slot for the next one and set to work tweaking all the things I wanted to change.
Wow. What a moment for Alloy. Do you think they were pleased or disappointed?
I'm sure they were incredibly pleased to pick up an order for the next boat on the day the latest one launched.
Yeah. But he lived a good life if that feature is anything to go by. He always had a very ambitious development project on the go, wasn't afraid of challenges, as you said, modifying his yachts and building this incredible private island in Fiji. But he said in that interview with Sophia that he felt he had completed most of his biggest goals, which I thought was quite nice.
That is nice. I met Lang down in Australia a couple of years ago. We did an event in Sydney at a beautiful home in Point Piper, and Lang came along. So it was great to have a chat with him then. So it's always shocking to hear about the passing of someone who you knew personally. So obviously thoughts to the family and friends and colleagues of Don Shedd and also Lang Walker, who have very sadly left us. So some housekeeping on the boat international front. We are going to go play some golf in May at a golf course called Cameral near Barcelona, which is one of the world's best golf courses. We're working on this event in partnership with the Volley Group. So it's all happening on the 15th and 16th of May, and tickets are on sale right now. And it's the inaugural golf invitational brought to you by Boat International and the Volley Group. So it's a beautiful venue, and we're going to have some spectacular entertainment and hopefully some lovely weather in May in Barcelona. Fingers crossed, I'm sure the weather gods will smile on us. So on the 15th of May, there'll be a welcome reception on the clubhouse lawn, which will be delightful. On the 16th of May, teams will play the stadium course with all the associated competitions, longest drive, nearest the pin, etc. And that night will be the prize giving and after party. So all the details about this event are on the website now. So please do go check them out. Golfers of every standard are welcome. I'll be hacking around, losing balls on every hole.
So you'll have to forgive my innocence. And as you said, it's on the website now, so I should probably know about this.
Since you are in charge of the website.
And yet I have to ask, who's coming to this? Anyone? Open to anyone?
Yeah, open to the industry. So we're inviting owners, we're inviting superyacht captains. We'd love teams from the industry, from companies to come along and compete against their colleagues from the superyacht industry. It should be, really lovely, competitive, yet good-humoured event in a spectacular location with some great parties and drinks and dinners and barbecues, lunches, etc.
So, it sounds like a recipe for a good event, actually.
Who
pioneered this? Was this Ian himself?
Ian, obviously the big boss of Volley. We've been talking about this for a little while, so delighted to get it off the ground finally. And hopefully it's the first of many. I think just a good excuse to go play some golf in a great.
Yeah, I was going to say, I felt like we're quite guilty of this because we did the Sam Moritz ice cricket a few weeks ago. Do you want to talk about that now?
Maybe we should talk about the ice cricket.
Just things that we do that Stuart wants to do, basically.
A sporting theme. So visitors to the website might have seen some photos thrown up recently from an event we did in Sam Moritz in partnership with Pendennis. So Toby Allies is the managing director of Pendennis, and he and I are great friends. And for years and years and years, we've been talking about staging an ice cricket event. It got to the point of obsession. And eventually we said the impetus really came from Toby. He said, "Screw it, I'm just going to do it. Let's just do it." So towards the end of last year, we started really, really thinking hard about it and organizing it and started costing it. And we got it off the ground, which was fantastic. So directly after the design festival in Kitzbühel, which again we'll talk about in a second, some members of the Boat International team and members of the superyacht community and others flew in to St. Moritz and went down to St. Moritz, and we rolled out a mat on the ice, put a boundary round. We had some wonderful partners in the form of Jacques Aydroz, the spectacular watchmaker, and Bermuda Tourism Authority.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of days of lots and lots of fun.
Nice.
On the ice.
Wow.
Playing cricket.
What a thing to do.
Yeah, it was amazing, actually. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But amazing. We had people from all over. We had some owners come along. A very kind owner hosted us in his stunning apartment on the first night. And then we had some captains and owners and industry players taking part the next day. And then we had a lovely dinner and that night and had a bit of a cricket hack the next day, very comical on the ice, and then everyone departed. It was a great few days, loved it, and we're going to try and repeat it in 2025. So if you'd love to come and play some cricket with us in St. Moritz, let us know. It's great fun.
So next year, would it be after SDF again, do you think? Or was that quite intense?
It was quite intense for the events team. Back-to-back events like that. So we're looking at the calendar now, and I'll talk to Toby and I'll get together down at St. Bart's and have a chat about 2025.
What other things basically you want to do?
What other sports?
Yeah, can we do under the Boat International umbrella that will just be a jolly for Stuart Campbell, basically.
That's a great mission statement, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, why don't we do SDF? Why don't we talk a bit about SDF? Because the last couple of podcasts we've released have been sessions from the SDF, but I don't think we've had a live review of the event.
I thought it was brilliant this year. I mean, I've only been to three, but they've all been at very different locations, because my first one was in Milan.
That's right.
The next one was in Cortina, which I loved a lot, only because I have a soft spot for Cortina. And then Kitzbühel. Everyone loves Kitzbühel, don't they?
It feels like it's kind of the spiritual home of that event.
Okay, maybe that's it.
And I think I remember when Toby, boat CEO, mentioned on stage that we would be back in Kitzbühel in 2025. There was a very raucous round of applause from everyone in the audience. People just love that place.
Yeah. Did you get to go on the slopes, actually, while you were there?
I did. I skied a couple of days
before
didn't you? Yeah, with some clients. And I'm a fairly competent skier. I'm kind of, I'd say 6 out of 10, maybe sometimes 7.
And okay, that's quite high for middling. 7.
Yeah, that's sometimes 7.
Okay,
sometimes
7 on a good day.
On a good day after a beer, okay. When you feel relaxed. Sure. I went out skiing with some people, a couple of Norwegians, and Samuel Artman as well, and who used to be a ski instructor, and I was thoroughly shown up.
Down at 5 for those days, I guess.
Yeah, no, I was a beginner again. Okay. Compared to those guys. They were all expert skiers, and just going down slopes, I wouldn't even contemplate. So I took the kind of the bunny slope round the steep bits, and they just bombed down these.
Oh, Stuart.
These,
were you the Boat International representative for this?
Yeah, I was.
Gosh, you should have said Naomi.
It was shameful. Yeah, Naomi, she's a much better skier than me, actually.
Yeah.
She did great at the ski cup.
Naomi Wilson of podcast fame, who edits this podcast with Adam. She's brilliant. She was going down slopes with a GoPro as well.
I know. Amazing.
Yeah, no, it was a really good event. I thought the panels were, every year they're great. I think it's nice that we have more panels increasingly now from outside the superyacht industry, and we really get to see a bit more of the other side of the worlds of design and luxury. Has it always been like that?
No, it's become much more infused with expertise from outside, which I think is of more interest to that audience, because it's like busman's holiday. If you we could just pack the stage with OEMs to the superyacht industry and superyacht designers, but it's, we like to introduce new topics and new ideas and innovations from outside. So the solar glass,
that was
for
good.
Instance,
that's really interesting,
and things like that. I think that's of more interest and more value to that audience when they go away having learned something rather than.
You say that, but can you guess my favorite panel?
Go on.
Have a guess. Don't look at the script. I see. I haven't, see you are coming to the script.
I haven't looked at the script. Teak? I don't know.
Not Teak. No, my favourite was Dickie.
Dickie. Yeah, well, Dickie was a legend.
Really, really good. I know that there's so many good panels from outside the industry and you learn so much, but sometimes you just want someone to come up and talk about these just incredible stories, like just seeing all the vintage pictures and hearing all the tales from Dickie growing up under the godfather of modern yacht design. I mean, he talked about the chaos of the design studio on the Old King's Road and watching his dad fly out to Cuba to meet Fidel Castro.
I know, he met Castro, designed a yacht for Castro. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. And you know how his father used to go back to the tailor to get special adjustments done to Dickie's uniform? So, yeah, really showed John's creative eye. And he actually showed an excerpt from a letter that was written by a client of John's. That was so good. Did you have a chance to read that properly?
Yeah, I read
that
it.
That was brilliant. I just...
And the note from John to Dickie was touching. I
think a few
moist eyes in the audience definitely. For that one. Yeah, what a raconteur is Dickie. And some amazing stories about his dad. And also about the work Dickie's doing now and how that legacy is continuing through his incredible work at Battenberg and Rowell.
Yeah, he's a great talker, actually.
He's a brilliant talker. He's so natural and so easy and so charming. And he's a dream interview, basically, because you can just kind of, you know, just wind him up and set him off. And, you know, 10 minutes later, you're still absolutely wrapped because he's just got so much good stuff to say. And, you know, he's seen from birth to now, he's really lived the growth of the super industry from day one. And yes, it's, those archive photos were fantastic.
Yeah, Andrew Winch with the kind of
huge afro.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
That was good. I also liked your one. I love the data. I know, as I said, it's all about design, but the data is always really interesting to dig into. So Stuart has actually printed off. There it is, dear listener. That was the sound of Stuart's data. It's all stapled neatly together.
So I'm going to pull out a few facts and figures here, because at the start of the design festival each year, I do a bit of a just a 10-minute kind of data review, taking a lot of information from the Global Order Book and other sources like Boat Pro to provide a bit of context for all the discussions which happen after. Because it's always instructive, isn't it, to learn about how healthy and active the super yacht industry really is. But anyway, I thought there's a few numbers here that I'm going to test Katya Damborski, a.k.a. the yacht writer.
You put the yacht writer on the spot.
A.k.a. Babushka. About the super yacht fleet. So Katya, how many super yachts over 24 metres have been delivered by the world's shipyards to date?
Are you not even going to give me A, B and C? You're just going to make me answer?
Yeah. How about a ballpark?
How many shipyards have been delivered today? No, how many yachts have been delivered today? Above 24 metres?
Yeah.
And do you know what? I even know the answer to this.
Okay, I'll give you three options. 11,626, 12,626, or 13,626?
13.
12.
No. You
always go B.
No, that's... That's an awful tactic.
Yeah, so 12,626 super yachts over 24 meters in length have been delivered. Actually, had been delivered as of the last Global Order report.
And that includes conversions, right? So anything that was once something else is now a yacht.
Yeah. So all those 12,626 super yachts have been built by how many shipyards? A, 1,807. B, 1,907. C, 2,007.
A
is correct.
18,000. That's a lot.
So 1,800.
1,800, sorry.
So 1,807 shipyards are responsible for those 12,626 super yachts. Of those 1,807 shipyards, how many are still active today? 10%, 20%, or 30%?
10%.
10%, you're right. I gave you an A again. I shouldn't have done that.
I knew that one actually had that one.
Okay, the average age of a super yacht in the global fleet is 21 years, 22 years, or 23 years?
23?
23 is right. Okay, yes. last one.
How many have I got right so far? 2 out of 4.
You've got 3 out of 4, I think.
Oh, really?
So the average size of a superyacht on the water, of those 12,626 yachts, the average size is 32.5 meters, 33.5 meters, or 34.5 meters.
33.
Yes! You've done very well, actually.
That's quite good, isn't it?
That's really good.
It's not bad.
Yeah. I think the only one you got wrong was the total number. But that's...
Yeah, what can I say?
Good knowledge, the Yacht Writer.
There's a daily quiz over on the Yacht Writer, so I think I've got the telepathic quiz answers from you.
Like I think that. That's right. I enjoy doing that quiz. So motor yachts absolutely dominate the global fleet. So they account for 85% of all superyachts in the water. But as I like to point out each year, that's not always been the case. In the year 2000, turn of the millennium, sailing yachts made up a quarter of the fleet. And in the middle of the last century, sailing yachts accounted for about 50% of all superyachts on the water. But since 2000, it's been a very different story. So the motor yacht fleet has grown 233% and the sailing yacht fleet a more modest 83%. So since 2000, it's been a story about power, 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 power. And now, obviously, 85% of all yachts are motor yachts. Hopefully, I mean, every year we hope to see a slight clawing back of market share on the sailing side. And it's the global order book has indicated the sailing market is steady. But I think the activity in the under 24 meter sector is very active in sailing yachts.
Yeah.
But we're just not seeing quite the same level of activity in the above 24 meter sector. Although, you know, talking to some of the designers at the SDF, some of the sailing yacht designers like Malcolm McKeon, for instance, I mean, he's got some amazing projects on the go. So, I mean, there is some really, really good stuff happening in the sailing yacht sector. But it'd be great to see the numbers in the order book ticking up next year. And that is the end of the quiz. So well done.
Thank you. Not too bad.
So we've got a few things coming up. So you're off to the Benetti Yachtmaster.
I am. I'm really excited for this. Yeah. No, it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I'm
okay.
Up tomorrow to... Where am I going? Have you been paying attention?
Budapest.
That's exactly it. So last year, I think it was in Abu Dhabi. Or maybe... Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
And then Venice the year before that. So I always envious you watch Holly Overton go to this one because it's quite fun. Have you been?
I've never been, no.
It's a really fun, well-organized event from what I've seen. They put a lot into it. Like, I've got my, you know, they give you like the jacket and like, there's a uniform that you wear and it's
good
sort of, like,
swag.
Yeah,
you get the good
exactly.
swag.
You know how I feel about good swag.
You can give Katja a brand the jacket
and I will
have a
wear
fan for life.
Absolutely. No, I will advertise it. I go everywhere. You know that bag I've got? That's a Lursen bag and it's brilliant. But yeah, it's nice they're moving around a bit, going to different cities. There's going to be conferences, a workshop, a team building experience.
That always slightly makes me cringe with anxiety.
Really? See, I'm all about a team building experience.
What's your name? Where are you from?
I won't be like that. It'll be some kind of like, I don't know, trust exercise.
Oh God.
Scaling up the side of a Hungarian building.
That could be quite good fun.
And then also obviously plenty of networking, and I think there's also like a river cruise.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
I think so, yeah. I mean, when in Budapest, right?
Yeah.
So that'd be good fun. And then what else is happening this week on home soil?
On home soil, the World Superyacht Award judging is taking place on Friday at an amazing venue, Le Manoir de Quatre Saisons in Oxfordshire, which is a Belmond property. So a huge thanks to Belmond for their help in securing that venue. So we've got lots of judges flying in for that. Only a few absences. We've got a really good team coming in. And they so Thursday night, we congregate. And Friday, full day of judging and debating, sometimes quite feisty debating, which is always good fun to be witness to. Obviously, as Boat International, we don't have a vote, but I'm basically I'm the slide guy. I flick the slides on, basically. That's my role in the room.
Right. And you're also the referee, right? Ringing the bell when they get a bit too...
No, I keep stum.
No,
right?
Really?
So the owner of... Atalanta is the chairman and he keeps everyone in check. And it's fascinating watching the debate, listening to it rather, because you know, all these ladies and gents of vast super experience just basically downloading their thoughts in that session and debating the merits, pros and cons of each entrant, and then reaching a resolution. It's really fascinating because I learn an awful lot. So it's great to be in the room and just basically be a fly on the wall.
And it's Belmont and NetJets, right?
NetJets are sponsoring as well. So huge gratitude, obviously, to NetJets and for helping out, really. Yeah. And improving the experience. Judges always love it because we show them a good time, obviously. We ask a lot of them. They travel around the world on their own dime, touring yachts, taking time out of their busy lives to be a World Super Yacht Awards judge. So is you know, recompense for that. We like to treat them to a few dinners every once in a while.
Yeah.
At a nice hotel room occasionally. So yeah, that's all happening Thursday, Friday and Saturday.
And then after that, we've got most of the industry going down to the Middle East to the Dubai show, right?
Dubai kicks off next week. Yeah. People really like the, I mean, you're quite a fan, aren't you?
I really enjoy the Dubai boat show. You like it because it starts at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a late start. I always enjoy that.
Yeah. I like it because the whole industry does go, you know, that you can't ignore that one in the calendar.
No, everyone, you're right. Yeah.
Everyone attends.
Yeah.
I think, I have a feeling, although we don't know yet, the fleet's going to be a bit smaller, especially secondhand yachts will be a bit smaller this year. But then, you know, Flying Fox is going.
Is it?
With Blue Water Yacht in Dubai. Yes,
I didn't know that. Yeah. What a coup for the show. I mean, that is huge.
Well, the thing is, I mean, yes, but she won't be in the, you've been before, so you know that she won't be in the main show area. I think you'll probably even have to tender over. I don't think you'll be able to. Yeah, I mean, you can get your clients over, but she won't be front and centre. I don't think. We'll see. But yeah, no, it's a really enjoyable show. Some good press conferences going on this year. There's a big announcement from Tankoa. And there's also, listen to this, they've got a Sunreef shipyard tour.
Sunreef have got
a new
shipyard in the Middle East?
Yeah. Oh. A new production site, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, really good. I'm not sure we'll get to go to it because it conflicts slightly with our schedule, but I'm really trying to get Dea, who is a digital writer, to go along to that because I think it's, you know, it's brilliant seeing inside shipyards. And have you seen inside a Sunreef shipyard in Gdansk?
No, I've never been there. I need to go there. I'd like to go there.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to go there soon.
Yeah, the catamaran connoisseur himself.
Yeah, I mean, I am the world's biggest advocate for catamarans.
Yes,
so what a... I've really neglected that, haven't I? That's very silly. I need to get out to Gdansk and go see.
Or you go to Dubai.
Or Dubai, yeah. Well, I might. I'm still undecided.
Well, if you go, I mean, yeah.
But so who from our team is going?
Just Dea.
Just Dea. Okay, well, that'd be great for Dea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you see Dea, we'll get her a Boat International badge, wandering the docks.
Yes, exactly.
Please stop her and say hi.
It's her first boat show, so please, yeah, take her in, give her a coffee.
She'll love it.
And then in between, you know, apparently flitting off to Dubai now, you're doing something else, aren't you, Stuart?
Yeah, so March is a bit crazy for me. My wife is not happy, but she often isn't.
Poor wife. I feel like I need to defend her on this podcast. You always mention that she's not happy, but she's the most tolerant person.
Yeah. Well, at least, yeah, no, she is. She's amazing.
She's brilliant. Shout out to Leah.
Shout out to Leah. Because I'm, so March, I'm heading down to Sydney to, there's an event called the Super Yacht Soiree, which we're a media partner of. Super Yacht Australia are putting that together. So I'm excited to get down to that. And then across to Auckland, working with Linda Berry and doing a data presentation for some of the
nice
marine industry down there.
Oh, that'd be great. Like a view from the top.
Yes.
Nice.
And then flying from Auckland across to the States and then down to the Caribbean for the Sunbarts Bucket. Currently lining up a few rides.
Of course.
Which will be fun.
Who's the front runner?
So hopefully I'll spend a day sailing on last year's winner, actually, Naku Penda.
Oh, nice.
And then I'll join Vianara for a day. And then... I'm going to have a little look at the list later on, see what else I can badger for a ride down at the Bucket.
Nice.
But we've got a couple of events there as well. We're doing an event, an evening at the Ocean Club in Gustavia. I think that's on the 19th of March, which is always a lovely event. It's just an amazing venue. Mm. one of the best venues in Gustavia, I think. Brilliant view of the harbour, and it's all open. It's just glorious. But, you know, frustratingly this year, the Palm Beach Boat Show maps directly onto the St. Bart's Bucket. So we have to divide and conquer this year. So
it's a hard life, isn't it, Stuart?
It's tricky, isn't it? So I'll be down in St. Bart's and some of the other team will be up at the Palm Beach Boat Show because we have some other events happening there. And actually, we should also mention the Palm Beach Boat Show, the relaunch of Dockwalk magazine. So Dockwalk, a bit of a scoop this for listeners of the podcast. We're in the process now, the final stages of redesigning and reformatting Dockwalk under the brilliant editorship of Holly Overton, who took the helm a couple of months ago. So she's moved out to Fort Lauderdale. So readers of Dockwalk, lovers of Dockwalk, will be able to enjoy a brilliant new mag from the Palm Beach Boat Show. It looks fantastic. Holly's done a great job. The team have done a great job. And it's really reinvigorated that product.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. I can't wait to see the final version. I always get so excited about a magazine relaunch.
Yeah.
Right. That's enough about our travel around the world. So let's talk. It's been results season, hasn't it? Over in, we've been keeping Gabby Lazaridis, our business writer, very, very busy because lots of large Italian shipyards have been releasing their financial results and they make for really fascinating reading. Well, let's start with the Ferretti Group. So the Ferretti Group has announced the net revenues for 2023 of just over 1.1 billion euros from the sale of new yachts. That's up 11.5% year on year. So they had a very, very positive 2023. Their adjusted EBITDA is 169.2 million euros, which is a 21% increase. So they found some efficiencies there whilst building new boats to fatten their EBITDA number, which is fantastic. So 44.3% of that revenue was accounted for by sales from its composite yachts division. 39.6% came from its made-to-measure yachts, and the remainder 10.6% came from its superyacht division and other businesses. So I should remind you, actually, the Ferretti Group is parent company to brands like Wally, Pershing, Ferretti, Atama, Custom Line, and CRN. So this I thought was interesting, and it's reflected in some of the other results we're going to reveal. So Europe remains the Ferretti Group's largest market, accounting for 43.2% of all new orders. But the order book value from the Asia Pacific and Americas declined in 2023 for the Ferretti Group. Overall, the group's order book is valued at 1.5 billion euros, up 15.1% on the same time in 2022. So CEO Alberto Galassi said in a statement, 2023 was an extraordinary year for the Ferretti Group in terms of both the results and goals achieved. These extremely positive numbers will give substance and quality to a further strengthening of our brands with investments in research, innovation and sustainability.
Very nice. Very impressive.
So why don't you tell us how San Lorenzo did in 2023?
I would love to. So this Italian yard reported net revenues of 840.2 million euros from the sale of new yachts in 2023, up 13.4% on 2022. So the EBITDA is 157.5 million euros, and that is up 21.5%. So as per usual, the group's revenue is driven primarily by its yacht division, which is composite yachts between 24 to 38 metres, which brought in 510.6 million euros. Then the superyacht division, which is steel and aluminium yachts between 40 and 73 metres, contributed 238.3 million euros, driven primarily by its steel and X-Space lines. It's interesting, that's the newest line for them. While the remaining 91.3 million euros came from the yard's blue game division. According to San Lorenzo, this latter segment grew by 20.2% within the last year, owed in part to the initial success of its new BGM 75 multi-hull yacht. I can definitely see that. Have you seen that yacht?
Yeah, and this is an interesting yacht. And Sunreef are doing something similar as well. So this is a narrower catamaran, basically, med-focused catamaran. And I made the point, actually, in the my data presentation at the Design Festival, that segment just below the kind of 23.9 meter market, 23.7 to 23.9 meter market. That's a really interesting space for catamarans. because obviously they escaped some of the manning regulations of boats over 24 meters and other rules and regs. And but yet you get the space and the volume of a bigger monohull. Yeah. So there's lots of focus in that sub 24 meter catamaran space. And these yards are now looking at making their catamarans a bit narrower to make them a bit more med friendly. So yeah, that's a really active part of the market. And so a 20.2% growth in the Blue Game brand for San Lorenzo is a great result.
Yeah, for sure. So reliability, commitment, determination and transparency, these are the values that have always guided the group, said Chairman and CEO of San Lorenzo, Massimo Protti. The performance of the year is substantiated by the growth of all the main metrics at income and assets level, as well as in terms of constant ability to generate new cash to support future investments and the remuneration of our shareholders.
Interestingly, San Lorenzo also reported a contraction in the Americas in their order book. And they said the slowdown was more than offset by a surge in activity across the Middle East and North Africa. But yeah, these European manufacturers seeing a slight decline in orders from the Americas. But that, you know, to be expected, I think, given the massive expansion in orders during COVID for these brands. So obviously that pace would have been very hard to maintain. Certainly, in the inflationary environment and the interest rate environment we're experiencing. So the Italian Sea Group is next. So this Carrara-based yard has reported a 23% increase in revenue in 2023 compared to 2022. It was up from €295 million to €360 million. So their EBITDA number was €61 million, which is an increase of 30%. 2023 has been a challenging yet satisfying year. Giovanni Constantino, the founder and CEO of the Italian Sea Group, said, "Our return to the Monaco Yacht Show, the important deliveries and the development of new exciting projects for our brands have represented an additional step for the group's growth, which is now an established reference point in luxury yachting." So three, you know, big financial results, releases from three big Italian shipyards that are all incredibly positive.
Look forward to the Asmund Bonetti ones to keep us even busier.
Yeah. I can see when one lands, I always go over to Gabby and say, you've seen it. She goes, yeah, I've seen it.
I did say actually, she's probably fed up of it. Amadea, some movement around that.
Yeah, so Amadea. Well, I mean, surprise, surprise. The US authorities have started to wince at the cost of maintaining a super yacht. Who would have thought? This is, of course, the story about the seized 106.1-meter Lursen Amadea, on which the U.S. Department of Justice is currently spending $600,000 a month.
That's punchy.
Yeah. So the boat was seized in 2022 in May, and the U.S. authorities moved the yacht from Fiji to San Diego, where she remains. So the latest news is federal prosecutors are pushing to auction the boat, which I'm sure US taxpayers will be fully supportive of. They are quite rightly wondering why on earth they're paying for the upkeep of a seized super yacht. So we'll see. Obviously, following the story, we'll see if the DOJ get their way and the yacht is auctioned. That'll be, I mean, there have been auctions of seized super yachts before.
Yeah.
But none as high profile as this.
No. And the other one was more about, I think they managed to tie it into a loan that was up against the yacht. And this is kind of less complicated in a way, right? He's just a sanctioned individual, allegedly.
Yeah.
And now can't use his yacht.
That's right.
There's been quite a lot of movement around these Russian-owned yachts recently. So in the April issue, we've got a little story about that in the news section with some updates on what's happened to them and what might happen to them, and also the status of them, because there's quite a lot of grey lines around. I mean, I think the mainstream press have been quite liberal with terms like arrested and seized and detained, and actually it's not always the case. It's really, once you dig into it and actually start leafing through those court documents, it's all very murky. So we just wanted to provide a bit of clarity on that and on Amadea as well. So
the language is important.
Yeah.
Because seized means a very different thing to arrest or detained.
Yeah.
Amadea is very much seized. Mm. And if you seize it, you own it, and then you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, if I was a US taxpayer, I'd be I'd be quite happy to see
gunning
that
for it, yeah,
off the balance sheet. So yeah, we'll obviously keep you posted on developments on Amadea. So let's go on to brokerage picks. And I know you're a bit upset with me, aren't you?
I am slightly, yes.
Because I chose quite an obvious one. So I picked
the one that I wrote. I very rarely write brokerage, but I actually wrote this one. So go on, Stuart.
I'm sorry, I stole it from you. So I'm going for the slightly mad, all gold, all carbon, 49.5 meter super yacht Kalila, which was built by Palmer Johnson and delivered in 2014. So she's in the news because Fraser have just knocked 2 million euros off the asking price. So she's now asking 22.9 million euros, excluding VAT. Fraser report that she's fresh from a 2.5 million euro refit and a comprehensive service of her technical equipment, which leaves her in prime condition. So everyone will know this yacht. She's got to be one of the most Instagrammed boats on planet Earth. So if you're looking to turn heads, there is literally no better boat out there.
No. It's not just that she's gold as well, it's that she's also like, the beam is insane.
Yeah.
Like, she's just such an unusual look. She almost looks like a trimaran, right? Because she's got those kind of weird...
She looks like sponsons, kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think she's technically a trimaran.
No, she's not. She just looks like this massive gold, you know, floating object on the water.
A remarkable interior too. Very, you know, pops of colour all over the place. And just one of the most unique looking boats ever built, I think. I'm quite fond of her because she was the cover star of our May 2015 issue, not long after I started as editor, all those years ago. And I remember the wrangling it took to get her into the magazine and then the fight I had with the creative team over the cover, which ended up being all silver and glossy. But what the detail I can't remember is who won the fight, whether it was me or the creative team. I don't know. Anyway, it was a brilliant issue of the magazine. I love looking back through those old mags. And so it was our very first design issue. And it had it contained our first attempt in it to photograph the world's top 50 yacht designers, which I also remember as being one of the most stressful undertakings of my career to date.
Like physically getting them in front of you and shooting them?
Yeah, we shot them all in Kitzbühel.
Wow.
It was an absolute nightmare. But it was, you know, the result was spectacular. And we got lots of lovely comments about it. It was fantastic.
Brilliant.
So we got all these, you know, legends of design kind of all lined up and in different groups. And we repeated it 5 years later. And I suppose we'll have to repeat it again in 2025 because the last one we did was in 2020. Yeah.
Yes, well.
Better get on that. it was good fun. And it came out great. And looking back, it's an amazing issue of the magazine, actually. We had everything from an interview with Giorgio Armani to a concept ski helmet designed by none other than Espinoina.
No way. That sounds like a really good issue.
It was a great issue.
2015.
May 2015.
We'll dig it out and work out who won the fight over the glossy and silver or the, or whatever your fight was.
Chris Whale usually wins the fight.
Okay.
So it probably wasn't me.
Right.
Okay. So what have you gone for since I stole your pick?
Well, yeah, you stole my pick. And you know what? It wasn't even just that. This is also one of the first yachts that I ever went on board, Kalila. And I remember thinking, like, do all yachts look like this? Because, as you said, the interior is just insane. But I stayed in theme and I went for another gold boat.
Okay.
The 31.1 metre fast motor yacht, Francesca. So she just joined the market with IYC. And do you know how much she's asking?
No.
4.5 million euros.
Bargain.
So what was Kalila asking?
22.9.
So you can buy five.
You can see the cogs turning.
Five Francescas for the price of one Kalila. So look, value for money. If you want a gold boat, if you want a crazy looking gold boat, go for Francesca. She was delivered in 2018 by CCN, which I believe now is Balietto.
Yeah, part of the group, I think.
Okay. And she's built in GRP. She just completed her five-year survey. She was designed by Tommaso Spadolini, and she's got this really, really fun-looking interior. It's kind of very Manhattan loft style. She's got these, like, white-tiled walls and bonsai plants everywhere, which isn't everyone's taste, but at least it's a bit different.
Yeah. That sounds great. So 4.5 million euros for Francesca or 22.9 for Kalila. Yeah. Both gold super yachts. So if you're a fan of that particular precious metal, then
we've got the boats for you.
Got the boats for you. Right, let's look at some headlines. We'll start with the news that the 65-metre FedShip Promise D, formerly known as Project Capri, has been delivered following successful sea trials in December last year. FedShip Devoit is responsible for naval architecture and exteriors, are the work of Studio Devoit, while interiors have been styled by none other than Dickie Bannenberg and Simon Rowell over at Bannenberg and Rowell. Promise D is the newest delivery in a series of highly anticipated projects to come from FedShip. Some of the boats still in development include the secretive 103-metre superyacht Ulysses, which we saw on sea trials not too long ago, and the 75.7-metre superyacht Project 822, believed to be called Alvia, which has been spotted in transit.
It's a nice boat, this one. I think she's the replacement to Promise.
Okay.
The other FedShip, and she's kind of explorer styling.
Yeah, she looks really tough.
And I think I said this before, but she's got that, I love it, the foredeck well area, like a lounge.
Okay.
Which I think is such a great use of the foredeck. Yeah. It's like, you know, the Fretti Infinito concept where you've got a kind of covered space, which would otherwise just be storage, I guess. So I am a fan. Yesterday, Rossi Navi announced a new yachting brand to the market, which is called No Limits. And they did it in a very, very fast press conference. It was over in like 10 minutes. They like told us all this information, and then it was like an online press conference. And
that's very unusual for an Italian
press
conference.
It was brilliant. And I was kind of writing these notes down as they were saying it. So here's the short version. It comprises 5 crossover all aluminium models designed by Fulvio De Simone. The yachts will range between 30 to 45 metres and they will all sit below the 500 GT benchmark. So Federico Rossi was presenting this and he said that he saw this gap in the market for transoceanic range combined with increased fuel efficiency and a very young, sporty kind of Rossi Navi style. So he said, we wanted to match the character of an explorer with the charm and style of the superyacht. He added that he intended to leverage the experience and know-how of the Via Reggio-based yard into this new addition to the marketplace and take the brand over the limit.
Wow. Good looking boats.
Yeah.
Because I only saw this story today. Big move into kind of slightly more series production by Rossi Navi. But they're great looking boats. And I'm sure. I mean, Rossi Navi seem to keep quite a low profile.
They do, they're under the radar.
But they're very prolific.
And they do a great job.
And they do a great job.
They do.
Yeah. They build wonderful boats. So this is a bit more of a bit more shouty from Rossi Navi, although in a 10-minute press conference.
I know. It's how to do it. Everyone else take notes.
Yeah. Last up, we have the news that 38.9-metre Amazone is about to undergo a major restoration at Pendennis, down in Falmouth, following a 20-year period of disuse as a houseboat in France. She was ferried from Le Havre to Falmouth and then transferred to Pendennis on the 14th of February. So this is a big rebuild project for Pendennis, of which they are obviously very, very capable. The rebuild is the result of a collaboration between Nick Edmiston and William Collier of G.L. Watson and Seven Star Yacht Transport. Obviously, Nick Edmiston and William Collier are the absolute masters of finding these kinds of boats. So if you are looking for a boat with great history, pedigree and heritage that no one's heard of for 30 years, you go see Nick Edmiston and William Collier and they will find you one.
Pull it out of wherever.
Yeah. Delivered by British Yard Thornycroft in 1936, the Tridec yacht was the property of the British government and so often at the disposal of Winston Churchill, then First Lord of the Admiralty. 4 years later, Churchill would be elected, obviously, as Prime Minister and become Britain's political leader during World War II, although he wasn't the Prime Minister at the start of World War II, which often people forget.
Thank you for that historical nugget.
Amazone also belonged to the fleet that took part in Dunkirk's Operation Dynamo. She has undergone a few rebuilds across her 88-year lifespan, with the most recent being in 2005. And great care, we understand, has been taken to ensure her interior remains faithful to Churchill's day. Great. Really exciting project. And great news for all involved. I can't wait to get down to Falmouth on my next visit. I'll be down there in June or July, I think, and hopefully have a little nose around.
Nice.
Great history. these projects, yeah, get my blood flowing.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard they had their eye on her for a while before this has finally happened. They were kind of watching her and, you know, seeing, I guess, you know, making the calculations, and now finally they're going to go in for this restoration.
Fantastic. And we're going to end with a bit of brief data news, and this is just about the Miami International Boat Show, which obviously has just happened. We thought we'd have a quick look at the boats that attended in 2023 and 2024. So superyachts in 2023, there were 55, and in 2024, there were 51, so a slight decline. A lot of the averages are roughly the same. The average LOA of a boat at Miami in 2023 was 34.5 meters. In 2024, it was 32 meters. There were 54 motor yachts, or only a single sailing boat in 2023. Only a single sailing boat in 2024 as well. Most were from semi-custom series, but they were slightly newer in this recent edition. 7.7 years old on average in 2024. In 2023, the average age was 10.4 years.
That's quite a significant difference. Yeah. Quite a lot younger this year.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And the big scoop for the show this year was the AcYacht Victorious, 85-metre motor yacht, explorer yacht, was down there being exhibited. So that was the star of the show in 2024. And back in 2023, it was the 115-metre Lursen Arpo. But great that Victorious was down there.
Yeah, they got some good boats. Some really big new boats there.
Well, I mean, the market is Miami. It's a few billionaires down there.
Yeah, but isn't this boat show historically a little bit on the smaller side, more for like the kind of sport fishers and the kind of fast boats?
Yeah, so it's slightly more production focused. But it's interesting how the landscape of those Floridian boat shows is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Palm Beach seems to be in the ascendancy. Although the reports that came back from Miami from our own team were very positive.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's going to be interesting scene to watch over the next couple of years and where focus is, where the superyacht industry particularly puts its focus.
Mm.
Fort Lauderdale, Palm Beach and Miami, or all three. Who knows? And that brings us to a close for this week's boat briefing. Thank you, Katya.
Thank you, Stuart.
I've learned how to say babushka.
Yes, just about.
Excellent. Well, you've taken the scarf off your head, so I don't look at you. I can't call you that anymore. And thanks, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. It has been mixed and produced by the wonderful team of Naomi Wilson and Adam Geese. Naomi, obviously, Boat International ski champion. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.